So again, the last couple of weeks we've been going through Mark, and last week we read about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, but he passed the test of obeying God's word and trusting God rather than giving into temptation. And he was the first Israelite to cross the Jordan and pass God's test. And then Jesus began preaching in Galilee, the region of Galilee, and proclaiming that the kingdom of God has begun. And we talked about that a kingdom needs a place. It needs a king, a place, and a people. And then we questioned, well, Jesus, how are you going to start gathering your people? And that's where we're at today. And we're only going to be reading 4 or 5 verses here this morning in Mark chapter 1. But we want to see how God starts gathering his people. And just as Mike prayed this morning, God's calling, he's commissioning all of us to a task. And I think we're gonna see that in Scripture today, how Jesus is building his kingdom through his church. So Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 16. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Can you guys imagine that? Can you imagine leaving your job, your family, your way of life? These guys, they were fishermen. Their identity was in fishing. They were running the family business. And Jesus passes by and says, "Follow me." And it says twice, immediately they left and they followed him. Wouldn't that be hard? There must have been something so amazing about the one calling them that they would be willing to leave all that behind, right? I got thinking, so often we're worried about, you know, figuring out God's will, or am I going to hear from God? It's not about, are we going to hear from God? It's trusting he's more powerful and more amazing to speak to us, that we would hear his voice and be willing to obey. And I want to take a moment again to look at the bigger picture, and we're going to go back and look at a couple Old Testament stories that's pointing to all this and what's happening here. Jesus is in Galilee and he's calling fishermen. So, back in the Old Testament, we got the picture of the Israelites. They were in Egypt. They were taken out of Egypt in the first Exodus, and they were brought to the Promised Land, the place where God was going to dwell among them and they would worship him freely. But the Israelites had turned to idols and had forsaken worshiping the Lord alone. And over the course of many years, the Lord was very patient, and he would send prophets to go warn them, if you continue in this way, I'm going to send judgment on you. I'm going to pull you out of this land of promise, and you'll be scattered among all the peoples. And one of the people that God had sent was the prophet Jeremiah. And this is right before they're facing exile and captivity in Babylon. And Jeremiah spoke from the Lord and said, in Jeremiah 16, "Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when it shall no longer be said, 'As the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the land of Egypt,' but 'As the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the north country and out of all the countries where he had driven them. For I will bring them back to their own land that I gave to their fathers. Behold, I am sending for many fishers, declares the Lord, and they shall catch them." So this is a prophetic thing happening, saying, you guys, you're going to go into captivity. You're going to be scattered. You're going to be under Babylonian rule. But I'm going to call you back to myself. I'm going to use fishers to catch you. Jeremiah, in this section, referred to the first Exodus, about the people getting brought up out of the land of Egypt. But he's also referring to this second Exodus, where God's calling his people back to him, and where the people can worship God freely and he dwells among them. And this is how Jesus is going to start building his kingdom, with fishers. And we read that this morning as he's walking along the Sea of Galilee. Who does he go to first and calls them to be part of the kingdom of God? Fishers. Let's look at one more Old Testament passage about how Jesus is building the kingdom. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9. And some of this will be very familiar, but I just wanted to read this and pay attention. Isaiah 9, verse 1. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Did you notice right off the bat it's talking about it's being made glorious by the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. This is where the Lord's going to start building his kingdom again, where Jesus is going to be calling fishers to come help build the kingdom. And this ruler isn't just like any other ruler they've seen before. This one is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Doesn't that sound like a great kingdom to be a part of? And it's going to be established forever. Jesus is proving he is the promised king. He's building his kingdom from along the sea in Galilee, and he's using fishermen to start gathering his people. Jesus is the forever king who brings increase and peace forever. Jesus is the forever king who upholds his kingdom in justice and righteousness. This is the kingdom of God that Jesus brought and is continuing even today to build through his people. Church, are we living as citizens of the kingdom of God? Are we reflecting our citizenship? So I told Oscar this morning I would talk in an Irish accent, right? Oscar, if I started talking to you like this and I offered you some shepherd's pie, you might think I'm from Ireland, right? So the accent shows where you're from and who you are and things about you. Are we as a church also speaking in an accent and living in a way that reflects our citizenship and what kingdom we belong to? Are we following Christ's example as being a fisher of men? I had the honor this morning of being installed as your pastor, but we are all being called to reflect his image and build his kingdom. Do we want to see the kingdom of God expand in St. Paul? Jesus has called us to follow him as his disciples. And one of the marks of a disciple is that we make disciples. So church, let's go fishing. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I just thank you for sending the good shepherd
who started building your kingdom, and he used regular, ordinary men. None of us have an excuse. You're calling us. You're calling us to your identity. You're calling us to your purpose. And that's glorifying your Father and making disciples and obeying your word. And Lord, I just pray that you would give us the ability and the passion and the desire to do that well. And Lord, I just pray that you would grow this church, both maturity in our hearts and numerically. We want to see your kingdom expand in our own lives and the lives around us. So Lord, I just pray for opportunities to do that. I pray that we would please you in the way we speak, in the way we act, in the way we love one another. Be with us, Lord, and help us do this well. In your name we pray. Amen.